Today's daf is Avodah Zarah daf Yud Gimel. We left off by the Mishnah and daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. So the Mishnah continues to discuss issues relating to business dealings with Ovdei Kochavim around their celebratory days. So Ir Sheyesh Avodah Kochavim V'Hayu Ba Chanuyos Me'utaros V'She'en Me'utaros. If you have a city that has an Avodah Zarah in it, and some of the stores in the city were decorated and others were not decorated, and Rashi points out V'Hayu Ba Chanuyos Me'utaros V'Simenu Lahem. That was a siman that those are Avodah Zarah stores. Those are stores that are dedicated to the Avodah Zarah to collect taxes for the Avodah Zarah. So the Mishnah says, "Zehayu Ma'ase beBeis Shan." This is exactly the situation that existed in Beis Shan. Va'amru Chachamim Hamutaros Asuros V'Shein Mutaros Mutaros. The ones that are decorated, that's the open sign that it's for the Avodah Zarah, and therefore it's Asur. The ones that are not decorated are mutar. Says Rashi, she'en mutaros mutaros, deba'osan she'en mutaros lo shakli minayu michsa lavod z'chavim. The ones that are not decorated, they don't collect a tax for the Avodah Zarah. V'lo matya lavod z'chavim hana minayu, and therefore no hana'a goes to the Avodah Zarah from those stores, and therefore it's perfectly permissible to go into those stores and to buy things. What about the problem we raised earlier in the Masechta? V'im yishum denose v'nose in biyom idam. Isn't this a problem of doing business on their holidays, which itself is its own separate issur? So Rashi over here answers, Hani mili lizvuni luhu. That's only when you're going to sell them something. Dilma mizbin lebehema v'azal makra v'alavod z'kochavim. So we're worried you're going to sell him an animal that he's going to go and use as a carbon to an avodah zarah. Inami derech lokeach liosameach v'az. Or even if he's not going to use it for an Avodah Zarah, it's normal when someone buys something to be happy about his purchase. Even though he just spent a lot of money, when you buy a new car, you're not sad about the money, you're happy about the car. That's the way things work. When you buy nice things, you're happy about the things that you bought. So even if he doesn't use it for the Avodah Zarah, he's going to have that sense of joy from buying something. And he's going to go and give Hoda'a to the Avodah Zarah. But to buy from him something that's going to be lasting, that's totally permissible, because when someone has to sell something, normally they're sad about having to sell something. They're not happy about having to sell something. So Tosfos points out over here that Rashi has done a major about face. This is not what Rashi had said earlier. Right, Tosfos over here writes, Ir Sheyesh Bavod Chavim. So Tosa says, Hacha Mashma, if you look in the last skinny line, very skinny line of Tosfos, last word on the last skinny line. Hacha Mashma, Shechazabo Rashi Mimashayim Mefaresh La'el. De Lases Velases Hainu Mekachumemkar. Previously, Rashi had said on Dav Beis, Lases Velases means Mekachumemkar. Either way, buying, selling, they're both Asir to do on the Yom Ayid. Umiyu Kasha. But wait a second, we said a beferish in the Gemara before that you're not allowed to go and buy from them on the Yom Ayid. And yet on our sugya, we're going to see at the end of today's daf, Rabbi Yirmiyah bought some bread and it seems that was normal and that was okay. So are we talking about a Yom Ayin and that it's okay to buy, it's just not okay to sell? We said before that it's even usher to sell on the Yom Ayin. The kach pirush Rabbeinu Meir, the hacha meiri biyirid, sha'asui lahaniach bo mechas, v'shalo biyomida meiri. The kach b'shenu mutaros ein kanisir. Over here, this has nothing to do with the previous discussions of the Yimei Dehem, of the days of their holidays. It has nothing to do with that. It's just about a certain marketplace where many of these stores would collect a tax for the Avodah Zarah. Nothing to do with the holiday, and that's why it's totally mutter in those stores that didn't collect this particular tax, but it has absolutely nothing to do with the previous discussions. Fine, says the Gemara. Am Rav Shimon Lakish, Lo shanu ele mutaros beverid v'hadas dekamishani merecha. Where is it a problem to go and frequent the stores that are decorated? That's only if they're decorated with sweet-smelling things, with flowers, with hadasim, where you're going to get hana'a from the smell just by going into the store. Aval mutaros beperos mutaros. But if they're decorated with fruits, then that's going to be mutter. Then you're allowed to go into those stores. My time, why? Why? Damar Kralo Yidbak Biyadchem Uma Menacherim Nenahu Da Asrav Mahanashari. Pasuk says the Yidbak Biyadchem Uma Menacherim. We darshan that means you're not allowed to get hana'a from the Avodah Zarah, but to give hana'a to the Avodah Zarah, that's okay. So even though they're collecting taxes from those stores that are going to go to the Avodah Zarah, that's not your problem. That's okay. That's mutter. To be mahana them, that's mutter. But to enjoy the hana'a of the Avodah Zarah, which is through the flowers, through the smells, that's the only problem that you're going to have. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. Afilu mutaros beperos nami aser. He says even if it's decorated with peros, it's also aser. And he makes a simple kavachomer. Kavachomer, nena aser mahana lo kolshkein. If it's aser to get hana'a, it's even more aser to give hana'a. Mahana should for sure be aser. To give hana'a to the Avodah Zarah should be even more problematic. So he thinks it's aser regardless of what the stores are decorated with. So a couple of important points in Tosfos over here. If you look at Tosfos on Yud Beis Amud Beis, El Beverid V'Hadas to Kamishani Mirecha. So Tosfos asks, Sikshu Rabbeinu Tam, Maishra Mibastia, Damrin El Kaman, Perek Basra, Deshari Mishum Derecha Lav Milsihi. We're going to say later on that smelling Yayin Nesach, let's say, smelling the Yayin of Avodah Zarah, that's not a problem because Recha Lav Milsihi, that's not really Hana. Hana is drinking wine. Smelling it, it might smell good, but that's not real hana'a. In general, smells are not considered significant. It's a major sugya in Shas, whether Recha Milsa, Recha Lav Milsa. It's a machlokas in Maseches Pesachim, whether Recha Milsa, Recha Lav Milsa. The machlokas we're used to about Recha Milsa is not so much an issue of hana'a from the Reach, whether it's called getting hana'a, but in terms of transference of tam when you're cooking two things in an oven. Right? The Gemara discusses, can you cook a kosher food and a non-kosher food, both uncovered in the same oven at the same time? So what would be the problem? I'm not actually putting the non-kosher food into the kosher food, so there's no direct nesinas tam, so that's the issue. It's recha, is that the aroma of the non-kosher food is assumed to fill the entire oven, and the aroma transfers from the non-kosher food to the kosher food. So that's the sugya in the Gemara, whether that's mutter or not. And the Gemara, the halacha actually is, we paskin, that recha really is lav milsa, that really it's insignificant, but that's only b'diavad. L'chadchila, we're choshesh that recha's milsa. So l'chadchila, we're careful not to cook two foods. That's why we don't cook two foods in an oven at the same time that are both uncovered. Or at least that's one of the reasons why, because we're even makbid, or many of us are makbid, that we don't even cook two foods uncovered in the oven, one milchig, one fleishig, one right after the other. Forget about at the same time. And there's no recha one right after the other because the aroma is no longer coming out of the food. So that's a totally different issue. That's an issue called zeya, which you would expect. The Gemara Pesachim, I think it's Tafayin Vavar. So the Gemara Pesachim, when it discusses this issue about cooking the foods in the oven, you would expect that it would discuss zeya. It doesn't. It leaves aside the whole discussion of zeya. In Shas, zeya is never really discussed. It's a Tshuvas Harash that he quotes based on a Mishnah in Mikvaos. That raises this whole concept of zeya. Zeya is steam. It's different than recha. Recha is the aroma transferring from one food to the other. Zeya means that when you cook one food in an oven, the steam rises up and goes into the top of the oven, and then you're going to put another food in that oven. The steam will from that food will rise up, draw out whatever tam came from the steam of the previous food, and drip back in to this food. So it's a big discussion. Why did the Gemara never discuss zeya? It's a major machlokas amongst the poskim. So some say because zeya wasn't shaykh in their ovens. Their ovens were too big to be concerned about zeya. Zeya is only in a very small, confined area. Others say that zeya is only something that you see. If you see like a very thick steam, then you know you have to worry about zeya. Where this is very halacha l'maaseh, we're choshesh for zeya even in our ovens. That's why, I mean, most poskim are choshesh for zeya even in our ovens, and we'll tell people to try to cover either milchig or fleishig in the oven, or not use it for 24 hours, or kasher it out. Most of the time we're choshesh for zeya, but we'll really have to be choshesh for zeya is in a microwave, because the whole thing is zeya. It's as thick as steam can get. That's how microwaves operate, and it's a very tiny area. So that's where we should be very much choshesh l'chora for zeya. But anyway, frek tosos if recha is lav milsa. What are we saying over here? If the chanuyos of the Avodah Zarah are decorated with flowers, so you're going to walk in and you're going to smell, and that's going to be a problem because you're getting hana'a from the Avodah Zarah. Recha lav milsihi. That's not called hana'a. It's just smell. So it says Tosfos, it's the shiny vered v'hadas di karayu l'recha kaimi. When do we say recha lav milsa? If you're smelling wine, you're smelling a food. The main hana you get from wine and food is by ingesting it, by drinking it, and by eating it. But over here, we're talking about flowers. The primary hana one gets from flowers is smelling it. So it's like Ketores, that even after the mitzvah is already done with it, so there's no mi'ila, but it's still usher to get hana from it. And Tosus adds, and even maybe if it wasn't primarily for smell, it still might be aser. To Armin and Kol Yisurin Shabbatora Ein Lokan Alein El Kederach Hanasan Mikol Malkum Yisurim Yeika. You don't get Malkus unless you enjoy it in the normal way, in the primary way to enjoy it. So you're not going to get Malkus for smelling wine of Avodah Zarah. But it doesn't say that it's mutter, it still might be aser to smell the wine. And he says, could be that that's by regular Isurim. But by Avodah Zarah, it could be that you're even going to get Malkus for getting a secondary level Hana'a from something. Why? Because Avodah Zarah is something that's very strict. Just like Kilei Akerem, where you get Malkus and Kilei Akerem, even if it's not Derech Hana'asan. Because the Torah never uses the word Achila in regard to the Isser of Kilei Akerem. So the Isser, by its nature, is more of an Isser Hana'a. So there is no primary mode of Hana'a for Kilei Akerem. And the same is true by Avodah Zarah. It also doesn't have an Isser of Achila. El B'divrei Kabbalah, it only mentions an Isser of Achila B'divrei Kabbalah. Fine. Then Tosos, just one more quick point in Tosos, he points out, Vafilum Tim Tzolom, the Malkus Laka, Isurim Yeika, and even if you want to say there's no Malkus, but at least there's an Isser, Aval Bastia, Aval Gav Debi Yayin Nesach, Mayri says, but wait a second, I started with a discussion of smelling Yayin Nesach. Isn't that Avodah Zarah? So even though the Ke'en Isra Avodah Chavim Echmirubo, Hasam Laka Hana, he says, but over there, you're not really getting Hana when you smell the wine. So even though it would be Avodah Zarah, and therefore, it should be aser, but still, it's not called hana'a. Ki adraba, chozek hayayin nichnas b'chotmo maziko. When you smell the wine, it's so strong that it's actually unhealthy. V'tam also lav mishum hana'as areich, or mishum duchashav le'kishtia. And the reason of the people that say that it's aser to smell the yayin nesach is not because you're enjoying it, but because smelling it might have a din of drinking it. Shareich nichnas b'gufo v'chazok b'yoser, because when a very strong smell goes into your nose, you can taste it. So that's the issue, that it's like tasting the Yayin Nesach, but it's not that you're getting Hana, because you're really not getting Hana. It's too, when you smell something that you can taste, usually that's called too pungent. That's something you're not happy about. You don't like to smell things that you can taste. Right? You like to smell things to enjoy, a little bit of smell. So you're not getting Hana'a from the Yayin. It's so strong that it's like you're drinking it, and therefore it's not Hana'a, but it may be an issue of drinking it. But even if it's drinking it, isn't that called a Shtia Gasa? Isn't that called the drinking that's an unenjoyable drinking? And maybe Shtia Gasa is motor. V'afilim tim tzolomer Shtia Gasa mutaris b'sra'na. Hacha kivin dim haya shosa yayin atzma lo haysalo Shtia Gasa. Yesh lesa hareach adoma lamamish. So he says, because think about it for a second. Yes, it might be something that's like a Shtia Gasa in the sense that it's not an enjoyable type of drinking it when you smell something to the point that you can taste it. But if you were to actually drink it, it wouldn't be a Shtia Gasa. You have a cup of yayin, if you were to actually drink it, that would be normal, and that would be good, and that would be delicious to you. So when you smell it in a way that's like drinking it, we're not going to be able to label that as shtia gasa, even though you don't enjoy that particular smell. Okay, that's one tosos. Also, the tosos on the top, on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, the machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish we had in our Gemara, is that Reish Lakish held that it's usher to get hana'a, but to give hana'a is mutter. To give hana'a to the Avodah Zarah is mutter. So, Tosos asks, "In Tamil, come on, Parakol at Slum. We're going to have a Gemara later on. Gabi Misha, you call some Samach Avodas Chavim. If you have a wall that's adjacent, your wall is adjacent to a base Avodas Zarah. V'nafal, and it falls. Asur levnoso, you're not allowed to go and rebuild that wall." Uparich v'akashavik ravcha l'avodas chavim, meaning you're not allowed to rebuild the wall and therefore give him another half a wall that belongs to him, that belongs to the Avodah Zarah. So what do you have to do? You have to be machnas l'tok shalo, go into your own property and build the wall within your own property so it's entirely yours. But the Gemara asks, but then what are you doing? Then you're giving the Avodah Zarah land. You're leaving land for the Avodah Zarah. So Tosus points out, what kind of kasha is that? So what? So you're giving it land. We're saying now that it's okay to be mahana the Avodah Zarah. So what's the problem that you're giving it more land? No, that's worse. That's a much higher level of hana. It's not just that you're giving it a couple of dollars. You're giving it land, and you're giving makom for the Avodah Zarah to be. You're giving a more respectable place for the Avodah Zarah to be. So that's much worse. Rabbeinu Tam pirish tevade kol mahana asur levad meach. Rabbeinu Tam has the opposite perspective. He says, no, it's not that really it's always mutter to be mahana the Avodah Zarah. It's just that giving land is such a high level of hana that it's asur. No, just the opposite. Normally, it's always usher to be mahana the Avodah Zarah. In our case, where you're going into the stores, that's mutter. Levad mehacham reshiyish ba'osana bizoyel na'avodos kachavim shaporea mechas lufi she'enu makshav avodos kachavim kolkach shiyasam atar barosho. Because when you pay taxes to the Avodah Zarah, as we're going to soon see, the way the system was set up is that you were paying taxes because you refused to honor the Avodah Zarah in any other way. They would make a pronouncement. Anyone who wants to honor the Avodah Zarah physically by wearing certain wreaths on their heads as a cover to the Avodah Zarah, gevaldik, then you're not going to have to pay the taxes. But otherwise, you have to pay a tax to the Avodah Zarah. So the paying of the taxes over here is actually a bizayon to the Avodah Zarah, and that's why this kind of mahana is mutter. But Vada, even Rabbi Shimon Lakish would agree that generally speaking, mahana, being mahana in Avodah Zarah, is going to be aser. So says the Gemara now, third line on Yud Gimel Amar Aleph, Meisvei, Rabbi Nasan Omer, Yom Shavuot Chav Manech, the day that they would make the tax for the Avodah Zarah, they would make an announcement. They would say, "Call me Shenotel Atorav Yaniach Barosho Uberosh Chamoro LeKavod Avodos Chavim." Anyone who takes a wreath and puts it on their head and puts it on the head of their donkey as a honor to the Avodah Zarah, Yaniach Lo Samechas, will be exempt from paying the tax. Vimlav, but if he refuses to do so, Al Yaniach Lo Samechas, then you will not gain that exemption from paying the tax. So Yehudi Shnimtza Sham Mayaseh, what should a Jew in that town do? You have two options. Either you're going to honor the Avodah Zarah physically, or you're going to provide for the Avodah Zarah monetarily. Yaniach Nimtza Nehneh, if you put on the wreath on your head, turns out that you're being Nehneh from the Avodah Zarah. Whoa, why does that turn out that you're being Nehneh from the Avodah Zarah? Where's the Hana'ah? It's certainly not being Ovi the Avodah Zarah, right? It's just something that's a L'Kavod. But why is it that you're being Nehneh from the Avodah Zarah? So Rashi points out, you're Nehneh from the Avodah Zarah because min ha'reach shel ha'savim v'shel b'samim, the wreath has all sorts of sweet-smelling things on it. You wear it on your head, and you're getting hana'ah from those b'samim that are for Avodah Zarah. Tosus points out, why don't we say much simpler pshat? You're being Nehneh because you're saving money. Had you not put that wreath on your head, you would have had to pay. You would have had to pay the Avodah Zarah. So Tosfos points out, there's an obvious reason why we don't say that pshat, simply that it's not called that you're getting hana from the Avodah Zarah when you're keeping your own money. Yeah, you would have had to pay money, but it's not like you're giving the Avodah Zarah its money. It's your own money that you're keeping. You're not getting money from the Avodah Zarah, so that's not called getting hana. The only hana that we could be speaking about getting, that receiving over here, is the hana sareach of putting the wreath on your head. Lo yaniach, should you not put the wreath on your head? Nimtz mahana, then it turns out that you're being mahana the Avodah Zarah. And therefore, mikan amru, and that's why they say, anosev nosim b'shuk shel avodos chavim, anyone who does business in a shuk, so if he has a behema to show for it, te'oker, he should be oker that behema, which we learned yesterday about cutting the tendons and the feet of that behema. Peros ksus v'kelim, if he has fruits, clothing, or and the Gemara, by the way, is going to have an alternative understanding of te'oker today, but we'll see soon. Peros ksus v'kelim, if he has peros ksus v'kelim from the Avodah Zarah, yir kavui, should let it rot. Ma'os u'klei matchos, if he has money or metal utensils, which can't rot, and you can't cut any tendons, so what do? You alichum the Yam HaMelech, you throw him into the Yam HaMelech. Ve'ezehu ikor, and what is ikor? Ha'menasher prasoseh min arkuva l'mata, to cut the tendons underneath the arkuva. Katani miyas, but bottom line is, why did we quote this whole brisa? We quoted this for one line. Yaniach nimtza nehneh, lo yaniach nimtza mahaneh. We said that what should you do if you're in such a town? If you put the wreath on your head, you're going to be nehneh. If you don't put the wreath on your head, you're going to be mahaneh. What do you see explicitly in this brisa? That being mahaneh, the Avodah Zarah, is also aser. So we had a machlokas Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, whether it's mutter to be mahaneh. Reish Lakish says it's mutter, Rabbi Yochanan says it's aser. Here we have beferish in the brisa like Rabbi Yochanan, that it's aser to be mahana the Avodah Zarah. So Amrav Masharshi, Bered Ravidi, Kasav Rav Shimon Ben Lakish, Pligi Rabban, Leid Rabbi Nasan, Reish Lakish would say, yeah, I absolutely correct. That brisa is against me. But notice the brisa starts out with the words Rabbi Nasan Omer. That's a das yachid. It's a sheet of Rabbi Nasan. But the primary opinion in Tanaim, the opinion that we paskan like in Tanaim of the Rabbanan, would disagree and would hold that Mahane is actually mutter. So Reish Lakish says the brisa is not a problem for me because it only reflects a das yachid anyway. So it's pligi Rabbanan Leid Rabbi Nasan. Vanada Amik Rabbanan the pligi alei, and I hold like the Rabbanan that disagree with Rabbi Nasan. Rabbi Yochanan Sovel. Rabbi Yochanan holds they do not disagree. That everyone would agree Mahana is Asr as well. Before we go on to ask on that, Tosfos over here, Ma'os Uklei Marklos Yolichim Liyam HaMelech, the money we say you throw into the Yam HaMelech, Tosfos says, L'chor Mashma, the Hani Ma'os Enim Asurim Elim Mitam Knas. Sounds like the problem with this money is the same as the problem with everything else listed in the Mishnah. That it's tam a knas that you went and you were and you did business on the day of Avodah Zarah. So therefore, we make a knas that you got to get rid of it. But it sounds that it's just a knas. It's not that it's a real Avodah Zarah problem. V'tema de l'kaman gav Yisrael halichli rid mashma de mos hanim tzos biyado enim asurim mitam knasa. So Rabbeinu Elchanan asks, but the Gemara later on is going to imply that in fact the Isser is one of Avodah Zarah itself, that it's actual Dmei Avodah Zarah, and not just a Knas. Okay, so we'll hold off on that till we get to Lamed Gimel Bez Hashem. But that's the basic Kasha it tells us to ask. Keep this in the back of our minds, somewhere in the deep recesses of our minds. So now, what did we just establish? There is a Bryce that says explicitly that you're not allowed to be Mahana in Avodah Zarah. We asked, isn't that Bryce against Reish Lakish? Reish Lakish says, yes, it's against me because that's only the sheet of Rabbi Nasan. The Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Nasan. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, everyone agrees. Everyone agrees to Rabbi Nasan, even the Chacham agreed to Rabbi Nasan, that being Mahana in Avodah Zarah is Aser. So, frankly, Gemara on Rabbi Yochanan, velo pligi, is there really no machlokas about this? Vatanya, we have a Bryce, holchen in the bridge of Avodah Chacham, velochen me'en be'ma Avodah Mushvachos, but in Mesadah Zukramim, you're allowed to go to the original Avodah Chacham, and you can go and you can buy whatever you want, be'ma Avodah Mushvachos, houses, fields, vineyards, v'kosev u'mal berchos shalehen, and you can go and even write up the documents by their places of writing up the documents in their legal offices. You can take care of it, because the only way you're going to be able to have proof that you bought it and not lose out on it when the guy comes to take it back from you tomorrow is if you go to their places of writing up legal documents. So you're allowed to even go there. If a person is a Kohen, he's even allowed to go to Chutz Laretz. Normally there's an Isser for a Kohen to go to Chutz Laretz because the Eretz Ha'amim has Tumah. The Rabbanu goes there Tumah on all of Chutz Laretz. So Kohen is allowed to be Metami B'Chutz Laretz to deal with issues pertaining to maintaining the stuff that he bought from the Avdei Kochavim in order to make sure that he doesn't lose it, that it doesn't end up back in their hands. Ukshem Shemetami B'Chutz Laretz, Kach Metami Beis HaKvaros. And just like he's allowed to become Tamei in Chutz Laretz, he's also even allowed to go to Beis HaKvaros to become Tamei in Beis HaKvaros. So frankly, Gemara, what? The Beis HaKvaros Salkadaituch Tumah D'Oraisihi. When you go to Beis HaKvaros, that's real Tumah D'Oraisa. How can you say he's allowed to be Metami Beis HaKvaros? Ela Beis HaPras Rabbanan. We must not be referring to a real Beis HaKvaros. We're referring to a Beis HaPras, which only has Tumah D'Rabbanan. A Beis HaPras is either a Sada Shenechrash Bo Kever or a Sada Shenevad Bo Kever. Either a field that there was a Kever there and then it was plowed and there are little pieces of the body strewn about the entire field and you don't know if any particular area has an Etzem Kesora and if you're becoming Tameh, or a Sada Shenevad Bo Kever is there used to be a Kever there, you just have no idea where it is in the field, you can't find it. So going anywhere in that field, the Rabbanan were goes there Tumah and such a place. So that's what you're allowed to become Tameh for. Once we mention the Kohen allowed to become Tameh to maintain the property that he purchased from the of the Chavim, it also mentions other things he's allowed to become Tameh for. Umetameh lilma Torah velosi isha. He's also allowed to become Tameh, again, not Beis HaKvaros Tumah. Tumah D'Rabbanan, Tumah Seretz Ha'amim, Tumah Beis HaPras, he's allowed to experience in order to be able to learn Torah or to get married. Dafka these two, or even these two? Or, right, is it only these two, or even these two, these two things that he's allowed to become Tameh for? So Tosfos points out two chidushim. Lilma Torah Velosi Isha, number one, Pirish V'day Talach Tzal Eretz Yisrael. First thing Tosfos says is that even these things are only mutter if you plan on coming back. You can't leave Eretz Yisrael, a Kohen's not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael permanently, even if he wants to go get married or he wants to go learn Torah. Dilu ein daita lach so amruksuz perik basra achiv shal zeh nasa avol zchavim umeis baruch hamakum shaharku v'zeh yardakrav l'chutzlar. The Gemara there tells a story of someone who went to chutzlar to do yibum because his brother had died, and they said, yeah, your brother died because he went to chutzlar and he stayed there. Now you're going to go follow him. You're going to go follow him to chutzlar and it's going to be the same problem. So apparently when it's not daita lach so it's a big problem to go out to Chutz Laaretz, and we wouldn't be matir just to learn Torah or to get married. But then Tos says Chiddush number two: V'dafka hanach mitzvah shein chashuvos lilmo Torah shegadol. Shagadol Talmud Torah Shemevli De Maisa Vishanami Tzivlo Sovra Avol Shar Mitzvos Lo. It's only these two mitzvos because these are biggies. Learning Torah, that's Gadol Torah Shemevli De Maisa. Doing every other mitzvah in the Torah is dependent on our ability to learn Torah, because one is simply incapable of doing mitzvos if you don't learn about what the mitzvos are. So you need to learn Torah in order to be able to do any mitzvah. It's the premise of all mitzvos. So for learning Torah, that's when we're going to allow to go. But to do Stame single particular mitzvah, no. Lisa Isha, also it's huge. Now that's a little bit of a strange line in Tosos. Why is Lisa Isha so important? Why is it so big? Why is it so critical? Because there's a pasuk in Navi that says Lo Sov Ra, that Leshev Zitzara, that the world was not created to be unpopulated, it was created to be populated. That's the big deal about Lisa Isha. I would have said several other possibilities. Lisa Isha is very important because you have a mitzvah puravu, and that's how you, and only once you do that mitzvah puravu are you going to be able to be Madamas Beneichem, Vigadta Levincha, all the other mitzvahs that are, not only is mitzvah puravu a mitzvah in its own right, but it's got so many other mitzvahs that are dependent on it, that only once you've done it can you then do so many other mitzvahs that involve passing on the Masorah to your own children. So I would have said maybe that's the reason Lisa Isha is very important, or just for your emotional health and your emotional stability, that one of the basic foundations of doing mitzvos is learning Torah. That's true. You need to learn Torah in order to be able to do mitzvos. Another basic foundation of living a religious life is to be emotionally stable. That if a person's not emotionally stable, they're not going to be able to live a religious life. We've had Shaila once. I remember Shekhtar once got a Shaila about a kid who came from a non-from home. And then one parent became a Baal Tshuva, and the parent and the kid also became a Baal Tshuva, and the kid had the right to choose which parent to stay at. But the one that became Baal Tshuva was crazy, was totally unstable, was completely had serious psychological issues. So they asked Rav Shechter, what should the kid do? If he stays by the one parent that's from, it's a very unstable environment. If he stays by the other parent that's not from, There's no kashrus, there's no Shabbos, there's no, I mean, it's a stable, environment, but it's a non-frum environment. So Shach said, look, when he grows up, he'll be able to be in a stable and frum environment. Right now, he needs to be in a stable environment, because if you put him in an unstable environment, then there's not going to be frum kite later on. Put him in an unstable, that's the basis for all the frum kite. Obviously, these shailas are much more serious, and you need to look at the details of each and every case. You can't just, but anyway, but that, so I would have said that. Tosa says, lo sovra. What's the din of lo sovra? So there is a famous comment of Rav Yosef Engel. Rav Yosef Engel writes in Asonda Araisa that he discusses the concept of anus rachmana patre. That which mitzvahs do we say that if it's an anus, then we consider it, it's okay, it's as if you did the mitzvah. It's ki'ilu ki'amti, it's as if you fulfilled the mitzvah, you don't have to worry about it. For instance, Gemara Menachos says that Moshe Rabbeinu was very upset that he couldn't go into Eretz Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, don't worry, I'll consider as if you went into Eretz Yisrael and did all the mitzvahs at Tlius Ba'aretz. You're worried about that you were never mafer Shumas Maestros, etc. I'll consider it as if you were, as if you did all those things. So when do we say that? And when do we say, you know what, you didn't do the mitzvah? It's nice, you may have had other things to do, but you didn't do the mitzvah. So Rav Yosef Engel suggests that the difference, there are two types of mitzvahs in general. There are what we call Maisa-oriented mitzvahs and goal-oriented mitzvahs. There are mitzvahs where the whole mitzvah is the maisa, and then there are mitzvahs that are meant to accomplish a certain goal. For instance, a mitzvah of netilas lulav. The mitzvah is to take the lulav. What do you accomplish by taking the lulav? You took the lulav. That's it. It's not meant to accomplish any other purpose than doing the Ratzon Hashem of taking the lulav. But then there are goal-oriented mitzvahs. Mitzvahs that involve, let's say, Pursume Nisa. I light my Ner Chanukah in order to be mefarsing the Nes. So I was honest, I couldn't light the Ner Chanukah. But bottom line is, now other people didn't experience that Pursume Nes of seeing my Ner Chanukah lit. Makal Gagecha. I couldn't do it, I was an honest, I couldn't... But I have an unsafe roof now, so I didn't fulfill that goal. There's a goal-oriented mitzvah. So Rav Yosef Engel says, when do we say anus is ki'ilu that you did it. That's by a mice oriented mitzvah. Kosh Baruch says, okay, this one's on me. But when do we say that onus is not ki'ilu, you did it? By a goal oriented mitzvah, because bottom line, the goal wasn't accomplished. So for instance, if I was onus and I couldn't light Ner Chanukah because let's say I can't afford it, so what's the halacha? Whenever it's a mitzvah of Pursumi Nisa, you have to even sell the clothing off your back for Pursumi Nisa, your last dollar. Every other mitzvah, I'm Vazir Zali Vazir Yosem Chomesh, let's not be unreasonable. You don't have to pay more than 20% of your money, because then that's called onus already if it's costing you that much. So HaKadosh Baruch says, this one's on me. But something that's a goal-oriented mitzvah, you have to go out of your way and do. So Yosef Engel says, a perfect example of the difference between the two is the mitzvah of Puravu and the mitzvah of Lo Sov Rola Shevas Yitzara. Puravu is your achrayas, to go and have a child. Lo Sov Rola Shevas Yitzara is a goal-oriented mitzvah, to make sure the world gets populated. So I might be, if a person is honest in the mitzvah of Puruvu, okay, so HaKadosh Baruch is not going to fault him for being honest in Puruvu. But in terms of the idea of L'sovra L'sheves Yitzara, well, that's a goal. Bottom line is, the world is not more populated on his account. So it could be that's the emphasis of Tosov here. You want to say, I'm an honest, I can't do the mitzvah of Puruvu, I'm in Eretz Yisrael, what am I supposed to do? I'm going to leave Eretz Yisrael, be metami l'Eretz Ha'amim, in order to go do the mitzvah, I'm an honest. So yeah, that's true for Puruvu, but Tosov says, no, L'sheves Yitzara, that you have to go and you have to run out of Eretz Yisrael, because that's a goal-oriented mitzvah. Fine, says Gemara Vayter. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Amos Haim Bizman Shein Motzei Lilmod. When is this true? That's if you can't find someone to learn with in Eretz Yisrael. Bizman Shein Motzei Lilmod Einu Metameh. If you have the ability to learn in Eretz Yisrael, then you can't become Tameh. Rabbi Yossi Amar Afilu Bizman Shein Motzei Lilmod Einu Metameh L'fishen Odom Zoch Lilmod Mikol. Even if you have who to learn from in Eretz Yisrael, you're still allowed to go out if you feel that there's someone that you can learn better from in Chutz La'aretz. It's not an all or nothing proposition. If you feel the best yeshiva for you happens to be outside of Eretz Yisrael and you're a Kohen, you're still allowed to go be Mitami Eretz Ha'amim to learn in the best yeshiva for you, even if it's not the only yeshiva for you. This is the famous Trumas Hadeshin, scored in Shulchan Aruch. Trumas Hadeshin, Simon Mem, discusses a Talmud who wanted to go learn in a yeshiva that was in a dangerous area, and his father said, absolutely not. There are plenty of fine yeshivas over here, but the Talmud felt that his learning would be best in that other yeshiva, so Trumas Hadeshin quotes this Gemara, that Ein Adam Zoche Lilmod Mikol, if you feel that there's someone that you can learn from best, and we know that that the Gemara says that you don't have to listen to a parent when he tells you not to do a mitzvah, so over here the mitzvah is considered such a great mitzvah to learn in the best place you possibly can, that it trumps Kibbut Ave'im. Amar V'yosim, it's not always wisest in modern times to do that way, but people have to be shaleitza. Amar Rabbi Yosi, Ma'ase b'Yosef HaKohen Shalach Achar Rabbi L'Tzidon L'Lmud Torah. There was a Ma'ase of Yosef HaKohen that went after his Rabbi, followed his Rabbi to Tzidon to learn Torah. V'Amar Rabbi Yochanan Lach Rabbi Yosi, and Rabbi Yochanan says that Allah is like Rabbi Yosi. Why do we quote this whole thing? Alma Pligi. What you see from here is that there is a machlokes. How so? From the fact that Rabbi Yochanan says that Allah is like Rabbi Yosi, sounds like Rabbi Yochanan himself. Rabbi Yochanan himself saw this discussion in the Brisa, right? This discussion in the Brisa in regards to whether you're allowed to be Mahana the Avod Zara, because that's how the Brisa started. You got to remember, it started with Holchon the original of Chavim Lochman Behema Avodim Shvachos Batim Sadusukramim, right? That's how it all started. So I'm like Rabbi Yochanan Liolam Lo Pligi. Rabbi Yochanan say no. I really would hold that there's no Machlokas Tanaim. Velo Kasha. When is it usher? That's only when you're buying from a merchant that they're going to take taxes from. But when you buy from a balabais where they're not going to take taxes from, then it's going to be mutter. Amr Mar. So now we're going to go and revisit a few lines of the Brisa. So one thing we said in the Brisa is behema teyakar, that a behema that was purchased from the Avdei Chachavim has to be Te'aker. V'ikat Tzar Bali Chaim, isn't cutting the tendons a problem with Tzar Bali Chaim? Amar Abaye, Amar Rachmana, Esuseim Te'aker. Yeah, but there's a pasuk in Yeshua that says you're allowed to do it, so apparently you're allowed to do it, that we're allowed to make such a punishment, even at the expense of the Tzar of the animal. If you look at Tosos, Amar Abai, Amar Kras, the same Taker, Hikshar Rav Rabbein Elchanan, Madi Amar Tzar Balechaim Daraisa, Mai Raya, Mai Simi Yoshua. How can you bring a Raya from a Pasuk in Navi if you hold that Tzar Balechaim is Nisa Daraisa? Zil Mashayni Yasin Dal Pia Dibur Hava, Aval Hachal Beknas Rabban in Kof Biacham Laka Dov Minatara. Yeah, in Yoshua, it was based on the Nevuah that they had to go and be Oker, the animals, the behemos, but just Stam a Knas Chachamim to violate Nisa Daraisa of Tzar Balechaim, on whose authority? How did the Rabban have the authority to do that, to go against Nisa Daraisa? Yeshlomer Devade Sheish Koch Biadam Lakar Hecha Denir Tam Ktsas Lakar Kedemuch Perak Yishu Rabba. He says, this is the famous Sugi Yevamos Petas, that the Chachamim do have the right to be Oker Dov Min HaTorah when they see a major need for it, and even if Tzar Bal Chaim is Daraisa, the Chachamim are in fact authorized to get you to violate Tzar Bal Chaim. What's the source of Tzar Bal Chaim? We've discussed in the past, Rav Asher Weiss has a piece in one of the Minchas Ashers, I think where he has something like 11 possible sources. He has some obscene number of possible sources of where Tzar Balei Chaim might come from in the Torah. And I think his conclusion is that when there are that many possibilities, because none of them are really good possibilities, and he says what it really comes from is just an overall sense of Ratzon HaTorah. The fact that the Ratzon HaTorah is expressed in the Torah telling us stories about the Avos and about Moshe Rabbeinu and how they behave toward animals, that gives you an overwhelming sense of what the Ratzon HaTorah is. And Ratzon HaTorah, Rav Asher Weiss, this is one of Rav Asher Weiss's big chidushim, that Ratzon HaTorah is enough to create a Din D'Oraisa, a Chiyuv D'Oraisa, when you get a sense of Ratzon HaTorah. That's what the real source of Tzar Balei Chaim is, he suggests. Okay, so I asked the Gemara, so says the Gemara, Vayter, Amar Mar, we also said in the Brisa of Ezu, Ikor, what does Ikor mean? Menashe parsem menar kuva lamata, you cut the tendons in the foot, or a minhi, but we have a stira, ein makdish, v'makrim v'marichin, but bizmanazeh, that we don't have a base of Migdash anymore, so we don't make things hegdish anymore, because it's only asking for trouble. So all different types of hegdish, not being makdish, not being makrim, not being marich. Rashi points out, that in machrimin is assuming that that stam charamin lebedek habayis, that stam charamin go to the bedek habayis, go to the Beis Hamikdash, not to kohanim. Because if stam charamin go to kohanim, then what would be the problem of making something cherim bismana? Just give it to a kohen, that shouldn't be a problem. So we must be assuming that stam charamin go to bedek habayis. But anyway. So I just realized that in the previous Tosos with the Lumal Torah Lisi Isha, I forgot to mention Rav Chai Gon holds that it's Dafka Lumal Torah Lisi Isha. That it's even Lumal Torah Lisi Isha, but for sure all the other mitzvos he holds that Lumal Torah Lisi Isha are lesser mitzvos than everything else. A very shvera shita. Okay, we'll have to discuss some other time. But anyway, so it says over here, you're not allowed to make these animals kodesh in any way. Vim higdash vehechru meherich behema teaker. And if you do it, then and you have an animal that you made kodesh, you have to be ochre. It's peros ksus v'kelim yir kavu. If it's peros ksus v'kelim, you have to let them rot. Ma'os u'kli matchos, money or metal utensils, yalichim liyam ha-melech. You throw into the yam ha-melech. What about any other yam? So Tos points out, you throw it into the yam ha-melech and you don't have to grind it up first. Anything else, because it's so acidic, it will disintegrate it on its own. But you throw it anywhere else and you'll have to grind it up first. Ve'ezahu ikor, but here's the line. What is ikor? No. Ikur means you lock the door in front of the animal and you let it die on its own. And how do you? So apparently, you're letting it die. The ikur is not cutting tendons. So how can we say that ikur is cutting tendons? It's a direct stira. Amar Abayi shayni hasam yishum bizayin kachim. So Abayi says, we're going to have two answers. There's going to be Abayi and Rava. So Abayi says, no, the difference is that it's bizayin kachim to cut the tendons of an animal that's kodesh. That's why in that context, ikur means locking the door and letting it die on its own. Because so we won't have to be mevaza kachim. But when you're dealing with avod zara animals, not kachim animals, so then ikur means cutting the tendons in the feet. V'nishkte mishkat, so why don't we just shecht it? Asibul de takala, because we're afraid that if you shecht it, it's going to come to a takala, because people are going to come to eat it. V'lishvi gistra, and it's kachim, you're not allowed to eat it. V'lishvi gistra, so why don't we make it a gistra, meaning don't shecht it in a kosher way, just cut it in half. So I'm rabbi, I'm a krav, and it's mizbuchosim, lo sasim ken Hashem Elokeichem. Now that's considered being very destructive to something that belongs to Kodesh. And we have a mitzvah in the Torah to go and destroy avodah zarah items, and included in that mitzvah in the Torah is lo sasum kein l'Hashem Elokeichem. But don't do that to things that are associated with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to a Beis HaKnesses or to an animal. That's Kodesh. So that's all Abaye's answer. So why is Ikor different in that case? Because we're dealing with Kachim and we don't want to be Mevazeh Kachim. Rava Amar Menesha Nir Kamatam Lumba Kachim. Rava says not an issue of being Mevazeh Kachim, but it looks like you're making a mum in Kachim. So Nira Mum Aliyahu. Frankly, Gemara, what do you mean? It looks like you're making a mum in Kachim. You are making a mum in Kachim when you cut the tendon. No, it's only a problem of being matam l'mekachim when the Beis HaMikdash was around, where you can be makar of the animal. But now you can't be makar of the animal anyway, so it's not going to be a problem of being matam l'mekachim. Why don't we at least consider it like making a mum in an animal that's already a bal mum, that even though it's already not roi l'akrava, it's still aser, so this should also be aser. Balmum nihidol chazi lugufe ledami chazi. No, because a balmum, even though it can't be used itself as a carbon, it still has value. Its monetary value can be used as a carbon. Lafuke hacha, but as opposed to our case where you're just dealing with bizman hazeh, where we don't have a base of mikdash and we don't have any chance at carbonos, delo ledami chazi velo lugufe chazi. You can't use its money for a carbon. You can't use it for a carbon. It's totally useless for a carbon because we don't have carbonos. All the acharonim ask, but if you hold kitchel shaita v'kitchel asalavim, then you can bring carbonos. Then there shouldn't be a problem. Bring carbonos bismanas. That's a major sugya. Once we got back to Eretz Yisrael and got back to Yerushalayim and the Har HaBayis, all the poskim started writing about the permissibility of bringing carbonos bismanaseh. So that's what the stipler says. Even if you were allowed to, there certainly wouldn't be a chiv to bring bismanaseh. So that's what we're saying. It's not that it's not roi l'akrav in the sense that it couldn't be. It's not roi l'akrav in the sense that it doesn't have to be. Ashkei Rabbi Yonah and Rabbi Eloi, Dekai Episcopal Tzor. Rabbi Yonah found Rabbi Eloi that was standing on the Pesach of Tzor. We said that by the behemoth that you buy from the Ovid Chavim on that day, so you have to be ochre it. Eved Mai, what if you buy an Eved by the Ovid Chavim? So Eved Yisrael lo kami bayli. If the Eved is a Jew, so then it's not an issue. Ki kami bayli Eved Ovid Chavim Mai. Should you have to cut the tendons and the feet of the Eved Ovid Chavim? Should you have to do something to or lock him up or something? So Amalei, Mai kami bayli. What's your Shaila? Tanya, Ovid Chavim Varoi behemoth dakol malin v'lo meridin. We said about Ovid Chavim and Roy Behemadaka, that if they're stuck in a pit, you don't have to pull them out, but you certainly don't throw them down into a pit, so you're not allowed to go and hurt him and physically do something to him to make it bad for him. So he said you can buy from them the Avadim Behemah Shvachos. Eved Yisrael, Odilma Filu Eved Ovdei Chavim. In order to, were we referring to buying Jewish Avadim or even non-Jewish Avadim? Amrle Mistavra Eved Yisrael. Mistavra, we're talking about Jewish Avadim. The Eved Ovdei Chavim, because what do you need to go buy from the Ovdei Avodah Zarah a non-Jewish Eved? So Kiyasa Rav Nam Rabbi Shimon Malakash Afilu Eved Ovdei Chavim Neshe Machnisa Tachs Kanfei Hashchina. He says, what are you talking about? It's a great thing to go buy a non-Jewish Eved because you're being Machnis him Tachs Kanfei Hashchina. You're bringing him into the Jewish people. He's now Chayiv in Mitzvos Kiisha. It's a wonderful thing to go and do. Am Rav Ashi Atu Behema My Machnis Tachs Kanfei Hashchina Ika. Is that really the big mile of going to buy the Eved, the Avadim Shvachos and Behemos from the rid shalov de kochavim, is that you're being machnes tachas kanfei yashchina by behema also? It's called that it's being machnes tachas kanfei yashchina. It doesn't make any sense. Ela mishumi yutayev vachnami demati shari. No, the reason why you're allowed to buy all these things is because you are lessening the nechasim, the wealth of the ovdei kochavim. You're taking away their wealth. So here as well, when you buy the eved of the kochavim, you're taking away his wealth. Granted, you're giving him money, you're giving him cash, but cash is going to be here today, gone tomorrow. The things that are more stable, you're removing from him, and that's something that's the real goal. That's why it's really mutter to do all of those things. Okay, we're out of time. We'll finish up to the Mishnah and continue from there tomorrow.